السلام عليكم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وأصحابه كما أراد أما بعد. الحمد لله. Tonight is a very, very auspicious, a very sacred, very powerful and beautiful night because it is one of the odd nights from the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And as we know from the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he instructed us to actively seek out the night of Qadr, the night of decree, the night of power and destiny in the remaining odd nights of Ramadan. And tonight is the 23rd night of Ramadan. So my dear brothers and sisters, please make sure that you exert extra effort in these nights, especially tonight, for it could be the night of Qadr for you. And also this being the night which precedes the day of Jumu'ah, so it has a double significance and reward for us all. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to bring it to life as the way the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would do. Another two quick things before we get on to the khatira for tonight is we learned two very, very profound and beautiful lessons tonight. The first and foremost was in the recitation of the beautiful and majestic Surah Ar-Rahman, read so eloquently and beautifully by our very own Qari Zahid Sharif Saab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase him in his recitation and his love of the Qur'an, and also us all in our listening and sama'a of the Qur'an. The lesson that we learned from Surah Ar-Rahman is that the Qur'an itself in its entirety is a shifa. The Qur'an is haqq, it has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore it is true. And it is haqq when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the Qur'an and the contents of the Qur'an and everything within it as a source of shifa, as a source of cure for you. Cure for all of your physical ailments, for your mental, for your emotional, and for your spiritual ailments. The Qur'an provides you with that cure. And it is a rahmah wa rahmatul lil mu'minin, source of mercy to the true believers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this particular surah, it is mesmerizing to listen to, it's so mesmerizing to recite, and also to reflect upon the very words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he repeats us to, when he repeats again and again, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which one of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall we deny? Can you deny the bounty and the favor of the sight that you have, of the hearing that you are using at this very moment in time, of the limbs and the faculties that you have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of everything within you and everything around you? Is none but a mercy, a rahmah, and a bounty, and a bounty and reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should constantly be in a state of gratitude and shukr to Allah azza wa jal. And this very quickly also brought another verse in my mind when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلْيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. That when the verses of the Qur'an are recited and the believers recite the verses of the Qur'an, وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, that their hearts tremble. And I'm sure every one of us in some way or form felt that sensation when Surah Ar-Rahman was being recited, because we weren't just listening to it, but we were listening to it with an open heart and an open soul and mind, and allowing it to permeate within our heart and our soul. وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, the hearts would tremble for the true believers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. And as the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are recited to them, what happens as a consequence? Their iman increases. Because we know that this kalam is from none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's majestic, flawless, beautiful Qur'an. It's from Allah azza wa jalla, and gives us so much solace and peace and sukoon. When we listen to it, when we recite it, we know it is none other from Allah azza wa jalla. So that was a very, very beautiful lesson from tonight's recitation of Surah Ar-Rahman. And equally towards the end, we learnt another important lesson, is that it, you know, if we all stay quiet in certain matters, then it's very easy for 300 or 400 people to be misguided, or for us all to end up making a mistake. So it's very important that we are always aware, and we should never hesitate in speaking up, especially when we know that something has gone wrong or there's a potential for a mistake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. We have been sent as the best of nations by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For what very specific reason? تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, because we speak up and we encourage the truth and we tell the truth and we say, look, this is what you need to do and say. And we also forbid evil as well. So when we all are quiet, then we can potentially all be misled. So we should never hesitate to speak up, especially speak up about the truth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the deen of Islam, about the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And if we all fall asleep, then we all end up making up for that mistake as well. So it's a very important lesson that we've learned tonight, inshaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to always speak up and speak up for the truth, inshaAllah al-Azeez. Coming to tonight's khatira is a very, very simple khatira, a reminder in the beautiful month of Ramadan, which is that generally when we end up going to a new place and we may perhaps get lost on our route, and or we may go to a new street that we never have been before, and our parents have sent us to go and knock on such and such person's door. Sometimes we can knock on somebody's door, and because they do not know us, or perhaps we don't know them, they won't even open the door. They're like, who is this dodgy looking person with a beard and with a jubba? I'm not going to open the door for this individual. You know, God knows what he's going to end up saying to me or doing to me. Or perhaps, you know, we generally look at the people in the mirror, you know, we don't even open the door, you know, for that reason. But anyhow, people have their reasons for not opening up the door, especially when there's an unknown person, an ajnabi, a gharib person. So sometimes you can knock on the door and get no response whatsoever. Other times you can knock on a door and then the person will open the door, but they'll stay in the door. They won't let you come in. The door will become slightly ajar and they'll look through Gigi, the Sukhiya. And from there, they're like, okay, that's it. You know, your job's done. You can go back now. You're not invited inside the house. And sometimes we go to somebody's house who does know us. And then they'll not only open the door, but they'll also perhaps invite us in, depending on how well they know us. And very rarely there will be opportunities when somebody is expecting you. Somebody is actually expecting you, and due to their expectation, as you enter into the street, the doors will be wide open. Oh, sada ya raya. Oh, such and such person has come. The expectation is there that they know at this day or this time, this person is going to come in our gully, in our street, and they have all of the door and the you know, darwaza, etc., open, waiting to host and to welcome that particular individual. This is how some people obviously find when they, the type of reception depending on when they go to different homes. But have we ever asked ourselves that on the day of Qiyamah, on the day where we return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will also be in the front of the gate of Allah azza wa jal, in front of the gates of paradise. Now what will our kayfiyah, what will our hal be? Will we be standing in front of the gates of Allah Azza wa Jal, in front of the gates of Jannah, and nobody will open the gates for us? They're like, no, we don't want these people. We don't want these sinful people, these, you know, dirty people, these people who never worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They'll never open the door for us. That is a possibility. Or perhaps the farishta, the angel, does open the door, has one good look at us and say, wait a minute, you're never getting in here. Just like the bouncers, when they look at you at these particular places, they say, no, you're never getting in here. Because shakal deki. And the angels might say that to us as well, that no, you're never getting in here as well. Or and if we're lucky and we've done some good deeds, then perhaps the farishta will say, okay, you can have a peek, have a look inside, but maybe you're not able to go fully inside. Just have a look at the first little foyer or the entrance, and then utiwa pasilejo. Or perhaps there will come a time when we are going towards the doors of paradise. And not only are we going there, but the doors are flung wide open. And the angels are all waiting there in their entourage, in a straight line, welcoming the believers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come and enter, for this is your home. Come and enter, for this is your abode. Come and enter, because this is a reward of your sacrifices when you used to stay up in the middle of the night worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your truth, for your honesty, for your integrity, for you following the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, for you reciting the Quran and acting upon the Quran, for you to do da'wah in the way of Allah azza wa jal. Come into your final home, into your abode. What a great scene that will be on that day, when not only are we invited, but we're welcomed with open arms and open doors by the malaika and by the doors of paradise. And this is something that all of us need to work towards in our lives. And this connects to one particular hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, where, you know, imagine if you were to knock on the doors of Jannah today, at this very moment in time, do you think wholeheartedly, and be honest with yourself, do you think with the current state of your heart and your actions, if you were to knock on the doors of Jannah today, would they open up for you? You need to think about that. You need to really think about that. So this is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. He was praying with the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So they were praying together in the Masjid al-Nabwi. And during the prayer, another man, he said a particular dua at the beginning of the salah. At the beginning of salah. So before Fatiha, we have the opening dua. We generally read Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk, which is the opening dua or introduction before the actual recitation of the Fatiha. But this individual, he read a different dua. He read a different dua. And this teaches us a very important lesson first, that we shouldn't just suffice with the basic knowledge that we've learned perhaps 20 years ago or 30 years ago. 40 or 50 years ago when we came to the masjid, came to the madrasa, went to Maulvi sahab, went to Imam sahab, and they taught us Subhanakallah and that's it. That's what we've always read our entire life. There's never been any development in our salah. You go to any business place and there's something called continuous personal development. That they can't make sure that you're constantly developing. That's Brother Saeed, that's Brother Waqas, in their businesses, what they originally learned 10 years ago, how to wash a car. And then they learned what temperature it should be washed at, and then which direction, what type of cloth should be used, what type of chemicals should be used, all of these things, and the depth of the lacquer, and how much to squeeze, all of that. What he knows now, Brother Waqas, to what he knew 10 years ago, is Zaminu Asman Nafarq. He constantly developed his skills and his knowledge to become where he is. Just like Brother Saeed, what he learned at university, he knows 10 times more, perhaps 100 times more. Imagine you taking your CV to somebody that this is what I learned at university, and then 10 years later, you give the same CV, this is the only thing I know. What have you been doing 10 years? I've only been doing the same thing that I learned 10 years, that's it. No development, no nothing. And this is unfortunately the state of our salah. What we learned 10 years ago, what we learned 20 years ago, that is the exact same thing that we are doing today. If you applied for a job with a CV that was 10 years old, they'll say, walk out the door. You don't know nothing about what's going on now. We're not going to give you a job based on this. Now ask yourself, you have been praying your salah for 10 years, for 20 years, for 30 years. You've been giving the same salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where has been your improvement, your development in your salah? The Sahaba Ikram would always learn more and more du'as to add into their salah, or different ways to call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we also need to develop our salah and to increase our du'a and the list of our du'as that we know. So just the istiftah, which is the beginning of the salah itself, there's not just one du'a that we read, which is Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika all the way to the end. There's actually 5 or 6 different du'as that you can read. But how many of us even know those du'as? We just suffice with whatever we know, and that's it, ratalo, and that's it, Allah la khair salla. Ask yourself this question. Imagine your wife only knew how to make dal. Would you be happy with dal for 10 years of your life? You wouldn't. You'd say, yara koi aur sikho, make something else. There's so much cuisine out there. Ask yourself, yaro, is there only one way of you calling out to Allah Azza wa Jal? Is the only one way you've learned in your madrasa 10 years ago, that's the only way you're going to call to Allah? Or are you going to call Allah in different ways, in beautiful ways, in different styles? And this is what the Sahaba Ikram would do. They would increase in their salah, increase in their knowledge, increase in how they would call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's 5, 6 ways before the Fatiha. The Fatiha is the Fatiha, you can't change that. The Quran is the Quran, because you can read whatever you want in 6,236 verses, mashallah. Read whatever you want, iqra' ma shi't. That's fine. The tasbih is what it is, but you can increase in your tasbihat. And there's other du'as that you can do in your ruku. There's other du'as that you can say after Rabbana wa lakal hamd. But we don't. We just say Rabbana wa lakal hamd and zoom down to sajda. There's other du'as that you can say after Subhana rabbiyal a'la. But we don't. There's other du'as that you can say when you're sitting down in the jalsa position. Rabbi ighfir warham. There's other du'as that you can say after at-tahiyyat, after durood sharif. But we don't. We just suffice with the bare minimum. And because of that, when we go and knock on that door, Allah Ta'ala will just say, these are the minimalists. But those who worked hard and strived hard and learnt more and excelled, Allah said, well, these are the people who should be at the forefront. Bring them in, let them come in and open the doors for them, because these are no ordinary people. These are extraordinary people. Going back to the hadith, so Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he was praying with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the man within the salah itself, he recited, Allahu Akbar kabira, walhamdulillahi kathira, wa subhanallahi wa bihamdihi bukratan wa asila. This is a very simple, very easy dua. And most of us already know this dua. We know Allahu Akbar, without a doubt, because we say it all the time in our salah. So the additional is kabira. We know Alhamdulillah, yes, because we say it all the time. We are thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for so much. So we're just adding what? Alhamdulillahi kathira. And we know kathira as well from our own Pakistani and Asian heritage as well. So that's, you know, in the bag as well. Kabira is there in the bag. Most of us know a friend whose name is probably Kabir already. I have a neighbor whose name is Kabir. I'm sure you have friends as well. So Allahu Akbar, kabira. Walhamdulillahi kathira. Subhanallah. We all know this. We say Subhana Rabbil Azim. We say Subhana Rabbil A'la. In our zikr askar, we say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allah Akbar. Again, it's easy. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. We know this as well. We say Alhamdulillah bihamdihi, easy as well. Bukratan wa asila. These are the only two words perhaps you'll have to learn for tonight. Bukratan wa asila. That's all you have to do. And the translation of that is a very, very beautiful translation. It's very simple, but it's very, very comprehensive. That you are saying and testifying that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just the greatest, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most magnificent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most tremendous. That everything before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is insignificant, and Allah azza wa jal is the greatest. By saying this particular dua at the beginning, you're reminding yourself of who you are, and you're humbling yourself before Allah azza wa jal. But you're also seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's strength and magnificence, and saying, Allah, nothing in front of you can, you know, no, none of my problems is nothing in front of you. All of my problems and my difficulty, you are the greatest, you are the highest, you are the mightiest, and therefore you can give me the power to overcome all of the problems and the difficulties in my life, just by saying Allahu Akbar Kabira. And then by saying Walhamdulillahi Kathira, you are praising and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Kathira, for everything that you can think of. People only assume that they are rich when they have wealth. You know, I have so much money, I have so much property, I have so many other things, and they think, oh, the more I have, that's the only time I'm actually more successful. But no, you have so much to be grateful for. The hearing that you have, the sight that you have, the teeth that you have, the organs that you have, the heart, with so many things that are within you and around you, all of these things require shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're saying, Allah ta'ala, for every single thing, known and unknown, you alhamdulillah for every single thing. Alhamdulillahi kathira. Wa subhanallahi. And this is the beautiful part as well. When you are saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure from every single thing. He is transcendent above everything that they associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Above any association, above any son or partner or friend, anything else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most high and the elevated. Wa subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. And all praise goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bukratan wa asila. Everything from the morning all the way to the afternoon, and everything from the afternoon all the way till the morning again. So 24 hours you are repeating this, saying Allah is the greatest. That all hamd is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all praise and all beauty and all purity is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the day and also throughout the night. So this person, he just made this simple dua. It's not a very difficult dua, but he made it with his heart. And look at the consequences of him making this simple dua. Allahu Akbar kabira, walhamdulillahi kathira, wa subhanallahi wa bihamdihi bukratan wa asila. What happened? The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, when the salah completed, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam looked, turned around, and he said, Man qala haza? Which basically means, who said this particular statement? And he repeated the statement, looked around. So if I were to turn around and said, who said this? Everybody will go quiet, like, Patani, I've said it wrong maybe, and Ma'arif has seen something like that. But no, the Sahabi, he spoke when he said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, I said this particular dua. And the Prophet alayhi wa sallam said, Ajabtu. Ajabtu laha. That it comes from ta'ajub, that I am astounded. You know, I'm astounded by this particular statement. And the Sahabi asked, Ya Rasulullah, why are you astounded by this particular dua? It's a very simple dua in his mind. Why are you so amazed and astounded by this dua? The Prophet ﷺ replied, Futiha laha abwaabu as-samaa wal-jannah. Because of this dua, the gates of heaven opened up just because of this particular dua. We imagine us now, we could go to the parliament, you could go to the Bank of England, and you could knock on that door. They'll never open up the door for you. They'll never open up the vault for you. They'll never open up Buckingham Palace for you. But this Sahabi, standing in Masjid al-Nabwi, standing behind the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but with his pure tongue and his pure heart, said this statement, Allahu Akbar kabira, walhamdulillahi kathira, wa subhanallahi wa bihamdihi bukratun wa asila. And his voice pierced through all of the heavens and reached the highest of Jannah, and the doors opened up for this individual. Subhanallah. So why is it that we can't call in the same way? Do you not think that this dua will work for us? Of course it will work for us. But you need to make sure you have the pure tongue. You need to make sure that you have the pure heart. You need to make sure you have the same dard, same conviction, the same pain and desperation in your heart and in your soul, the way that these Sahaba Ikram did. And they wanted to learn more and praise Allah more and magnify Him more. And because of that, the doors of Jannah would open for these Sahaba Ikram. Ask yourself the question I asked previously, if you were to enter Jannah today, in front of Jannah, would the doors open for you? Imagine the doors for the Sahaba Ikram and how they got it open because of their sincerity, because of their constant yearning for their salah, within their salah. So brothers, learn more du'as in your salah. Learn, there's so many du'as that you can read in your sajda. So many du'as that you can read in At-Tahiyyat, in Durush Sharif, and after Durush Sharif, before the Taslim. There's so much that you can do. And this is the difference between our du'a and our salah and the salah of the Sahaba Ikram. They would enjoy their salah and take time in their salah. We just bang our salah out, and out, here we go. And even if you just look at, you know, comparatively, look at our own personal individual salah and look at the salah of the imam, we can read probably 8 rakat in the time the imam reads 4, or perhaps 2, because we're just going through the motions. Whereas the imam, why does he take more time in his ruku? Why does he take more time after he says, Sami Allahu liman hamida? Normally we're, Sami Allahu liman hamida, our back isn't even straight and we're shooting down like, you know, it's, you know, 300 swimming session and we need to get to the other side really, really fast. You know, we're trying to zoom through. No. The imam is doing it because he's doing all those extra du'as, because he knows these are the positions where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy will descend upon us. These are the du'as where the doors of Jannah will open up for us. So don't rush your salah. Don't rush your salah. Don't rush your salah. Increase in your salah. Increase in your knowledge of your salah. Increase in the du'as of your salah. And learn more, because this is the only way for you to connect with Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the only way for you to open the doors of paradise by saying such du'as like these. It's very simple. Alhamdulillahi kabira. Allahu Akbar kabira, walhamdulillahi kathira, wa subhanallahi wa bihamdihi bukratun wa asila. This is the dua that you can do. Other du'as at the beginning before Fatiha, Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khataya, kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriqi wal-maghrib. Other du'as that you can say, Allahumma inni wajjahtu wajhiya lillazi fatara as-samawati wal-ardha hanifun wa ma'ana min al-mushrikin. So many du'as, all authentic du'as, taught by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So yes, by all means, continue with subhanakallah, but alternate from time to time and say, Allah, I've prepared this for you today. Allah, I've prepared this for you today as well. And imagine when your children prepare something different for you and how happy it makes you feel. Imagine how happy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be, like my abd, my servant, my slave went out of his way and learned all of these other ways of praising and glorifying me. Ask what you want and I will give it to you. You want the doors open? I will open them for you. You want the treasures of Jannah? I will give them to you. They can pado say, yad karo say so. Develop your salah. Just the way you develop your worldly affairs, develop your religious affairs, and you'll see the doors of paradise will open for you, insha'Allah al-Aziz. Jazakumullahu khairah.